Good morning. Good morning. We are truly honored to be here this morning in the presence of our God. To our visitors, we thank you for being here. We hope and pray that you continue to be with us, you continue to join us. Yesterday was a marvelous day. We had a great turnout. We had a great event. And more importantly, we're blessed to see that our teens truly learned and were edified through the Word of God. In a way, this morning is an extension of it, only it's not only for our teens. Our guest speaker from yesterday agreed and accepted the invitation on behalf of our elders and myself, which I want to say beforehand, thank you, brother, for doing so. Our brother who will be teaching this morning, both the Bible study and the class, his name is Jose Gámez. He is the current preacher and evangelist for the Spring Iglesia de Cristo. He wanted me to make sure that it's a Spanish congregation, which we're both proud to be from, right? But it was formerly the Porter Iglesia de Cristo, or Church of Christ, but now it is the Spring Iglesia de Cristo. Our brother has been active in this ministry since 2012. He arrived in the States at the age of 17, and he has been a Christian, baptized at the age of 15. Our brother, you know, yesterday helped us with our teenagers. Him and I have known each other since 2016, I believe is what we said last time. And we've been blessed to keep in contact and to continue to forge and build this bond as brothers and friends. So without much ado, brother, preach the truth.
Well, thank you, brother, for that introduction. And again, I feel honored to be here with you this morning and being able to preach the word of our Lord. And I am told that this is a Bible study, so I am actually going to start with three questions. Now, I don't know any of the members other than the ones that I was able to meet yesterday. So I will probably just raise the questions and see if anybody answers the questions. And then what I'll do, what I do in my own congregation. Normally, when I ask questions in my congregation, I let them decide who's going to answer those questions. And then if nobody answers, then I just pick what I call a victim. And I say, well, you're going to be the one who's going to answer that question. So that will probably be the same process that I will follow this morning. So the topic that I want to cover, again, it goes in line with the same topic that we started studying yesterday, which is about a worship that is acceptable to God. Now, yesterday it was directed to the youth, but this morning this is a topic that really we are all concerned with. And the way that I'm going to present the topic this morning is, first, and during the Bible study, we're going to cover the Old Testament worship. And then as we get into the sermon, then we're going to move on to how we worship in the New Testament. Now, for the Old Testament, the question that I have is, did people in the Old Testament worship God with mechanical or musical instruments? What would be your answer? Those who say yes, by a show of hands, how many of you will say that yes, the people in the Old Testament worship God with using mechanical instruments? I think most of us agree to that answer. Now, the second question, so now that we know, we have established that yes, indeed, in the Old Testament, they did worship with mechanical instruments. Then the question is, did God command the people under the Old Testament to worship by making use of mechanical instruments? Again, that is this question, right? Is there a commandment? Can we see in the Bible God making a commandment and saying, yes, you are to worship me by making use of mechanical or musical instruments? It gets a little harder, right, when we ask that question. I mean, the first one is, I think most of us and even anybody in the religious world, they can answer to that question and say, yes, in fact, we know for sure that they did worship God with instruments in the Old Testament. But the question then is, did God command? Did God give them a commandment? It was that an ordinance from God saying, you are to worship me in this manner? How many of you would say that, yes, God gave them a commandment? God instructed them to worship using mechanical instruments. Raise your hand if you say that, yes, there is a commandment from God. Okay, I only see one person raising their hand. Those of you who say, no, we can't find the commandment from God in the Old Testament, raise your hand. Okay, so you say yes. Okay, so we have two that say yes, and most say no. Oh, but you didn't raise your hand for either or. Are you of those in the middle that say, well, I don't know, maybe, maybe not? How many of you are in the middle? And you say, maybe, maybe not. Raise your hand. Nobody wants to raise their hand, right? Nobody wants to be on either side, but nobody wants to be in the middle. See, these are important questions that we do need to answer. Then, because if that is the case, that God did give commandments about worshiping with instruments, then the question is, where in the Bible do we find those commandments? Where in the Bible do we find those instructions? And so it is my purpose this morning to really look in depth into this topic. And like I said in the beginning, I'm going to only focus in the Old Testament. Now, if you know the divisions of the Bible, right, you know that there are three different dispensations. We have the patriarchal or the patriarchs. That's the first dispensation that we find in the Bible, and it's found in the Old Testament, and it begins at the creation of the world with Adam, or the creation of the universe with Adam, and it lasts all the way to Exodus chapter 20, when the law of God through Moses is given to the people of Israel. And then we begin with the second dispensation from Exodus chapter 20 all the way until Pentecost, when the law of Christ comes into effect. So then we have the three dispensations: the dispensation of the patriarchs, then the Mosaic dispensation, and finally we have the Christian dispensation, also known as the last days, that we read in the Bible. And so these three dispensations, like I said, we find them in both of the Testaments. The Old Testament includes the first two, and the New Testament includes the last one. Now, again, we're only concerned this morning with the first one. And the way that I like to do this is, we always have to go back to the beginning. And the first question is, where did instruments come from? Do you have any idea who invented instruments? When we go to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21, we learn about the descendants of Cain. And in one of the descendants from the line of Cain, we see that it was one of them who came up or invented the different instruments of music available at that time. Now, with that, I'm not automatically saying that instruments are bad in themselves. But in the Old Testament, during the patriarchal times, that's when, for the first time, we see instruments coming into the picture. Then the second time that we see instruments in the first dispensation is in Genesis chapter 31, verse 27. And you remember that Jacob had been living with his father-in-law. And at this time, Jacob has made the decision that he wants to go back to the land of Canaan. He wants to go back to his family. And as he makes that decision, he pretty much escapes his father-in-law. And he leaves without telling him. And so his father-in-law comes chasing him. And he says, "Hey, why did you do that? You should have waited for me, and we could have said goodbye by playing instruments and playing music and having a good time, and then finally you could have gone." So we see that at that time, instruments are introduced as just something normal for people to just use at a specific time when they're just glad or celebrating anything. But then as we move to the area of worship, you remember the time when the people of Israel, God comes to Egypt, and he takes them out of Egypt, and he's taking them to the land of Canaan. As they cross the Red Sea, you remember the great victory of the Lord, how the waters came down and he destroyed the army of the Egyptians. Well, you remember what happens right after that. And we see the people of Israel standing on the other side, seeing their enemies being destroyed by God. And the reaction is that the first thing they do, Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 through 19, we find a song that as they are singing this song, they're praising God, but they're praising God for the great victory that he just overcame all of his enemies. And it is after they finish singing this song that then you see instruments for the first time being used in the worship of God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open your Bible in Exodus chapter 15, verse 20 and 21. Give me just a second. So again, if you can open your Bibles in Exodus chapter 15, and we're going to read verse 20 and 21. And again, just like I was saying, this is the first time that we ever see anybody worshiping God by making use of instruments. And this is Miriam, and this is all the rest of the women from the people of Israel. Now look what it says, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20. It reads as follows. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances, and Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." Now, there is something that I do want you to notice about this. Nowhere from the time that God comes in contact with Moses, giving him all of the instructions on how they were to depart from Egypt, you recognize that God gives Moses instructions as far as the Passover. And he tells him, look, this is how you are going to celebrate it. This is how you are going to cook the meat. This is how you will prepare the bread. This is how you are to dress up. And this is how you are to celebrate the Passover celebration. And God gives him every single instruction as in exactly the way that he is supposed to do it. But nowhere in the Bible, or at least nowhere up to this point, do you see God giving any instructions as far as the use of mechanical instruments in his worship. So in this specific case, we can see that Miriam and the ladies, they take it upon themselves at that point to make use of the timbrels. That's the instrument that is being used in this occasion. And to start dancing as they are praising God. Now, again, I repeat to you, nowhere in the Bible do we see any instruction from God for that specific occasion. But then this is still part of the first dispensation, the patriarchs. And now we're concerned with going into the Mosaic dispensation, or after the law of God is given to the people of Israel. And now something that we're going to see about God is that the way that he deals with people under the law of Moses, or under the law for the Jewish people or the Israelites, you're going to see that God starts to give commandments and being very specific in everything that they are to do with regards to not only worship, but also with regards to how they are supposed to live their lives. He gives them religious law, and he gives them moral law so that they know how to live with one another. And one of the things that we realize in this second dispensation is that in Exodus chapter 25, and I want you to read there, Exodus chapter 25 and verse 40, there is a very important instruction that God gives to Moses. And he says, "And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain." Now, what is God talking about here to Moses? About making sure that he follows the pattern. Well, if you read this chapter, God is giving Moses instructions not only with regards to the tabernacle, but with regards to every single item that is going to be part of the tabernacle. And as God is telling him how he is to design every single piece that goes into the tabernacle, at the very end, God tells him, and he gives him this warning, this instruction. He says, and see to it, make sure, that's what God is saying, make sure that you make them according to the pattern which I have shown you. So you realize that God has given him specific instructions with regards to that. And I'm saying all of this because now God is going to start adding more instructions, and now he's going to get into the worship area. Now go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 10. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, from verse 1 through 10, this is where we're going to see that God, for the first time, he starts giving instructions and he starts giving commandments as to how people are supposed to worship him. And also, for the first time, he introduces instruments, and it is a commandment from God, and we're going to be able to see it. Now, I'm going to ask some of you to please help me out as we read Numbers chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. And maybe we can start here at the front, and maybe one verse each person, or two verses each person. Numbers chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. So we'll start with you in the front.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying... Just that one?
You can read two.
Make two trumpets of silver of a whole piece. Shall thou make them that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journey of the camp.
Verse 3, somebody else, 3 and 4.
And when they shall dwell with him, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow with one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee.
When you sound the advent, the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. It shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys.
But when the congregation is to be gathered together, he shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpet, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations.
And if he go to war in your land against the enemies and oppresses you, then he shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and he shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and he shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your months, he shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they may be to you a memorial before God. I am the Lord your God.
Thank you for your help. Now, there's a few things that I want to point out of these 10 verses that we just read. And I want to ask the same question that I asked just a few minutes ago. Did God command the use of instruments under the Old Testament? And I think now you can begin to see that yes. In fact, for the first time now we are seeing that God is commanding the use of at least one instrument that we see here. Which instrument do we see here? The trumpets, right? Now, notice how God is very careful to not leave it out to the people for them to decide what instruments they're going to use, how they're going to play them, what the materials of those instruments are going to be. God doesn't leave anything out to the people of Israel. It is God who makes all the decisions. First of all, he tells them the material that those trumpets are to be made of. He says they will be made out of silver. They're all going to be made out of one piece. And the way that you're going to make them is with a hammer. You're going to shape them with a hammer. Now, notice that he already told them what type of instrument, what material, how it is to be made. Then the next thing that God is doing now, then he begins to tell them when they're going to use this instrument and the type of sounds that they are to make with this instrument. There are times when God says, you will sound the trumpets, and then the sound that you will make is to call all the people, the principals, or the main people of Israel, to come over to you, the princes of Israel. But then there are going to be other times when you are going to be moving from this camp, and you're going to make a different type of sound, and that first sound is for the people of the north, so that they can get ready and go. And when you make the next sound, it's for the rest of the people to get their camps ready and start marching. And then you see that there are other sounds that they're going to be making with this same trumpets, and this is when there is a time of danger, when there is war. And finally, we see that the different types of sounds we find in verse 10. It says, and also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts. Notice that God is now talking about the celebrations and the worship that is being offered to God. And he says that the same trumpets, there's two of them. He also gives them a number, two trumpets. He says that they are to be played during the time that the sacrifice is being burned. The whole time that this sacrifice, verse 10, is being burned, that's the whole time that you will be playing those two trumpets. Now I ask the question, and who is going to play these instruments? Can it be anybody that wants to play them? Or is there specific people that God appointed to do this job? When you look at verse 8, it says, the sons of Aaron, the priests, they are the ones that are responsible, and they are the ones that have been appointed to play these trumpets. Now, we start answering the first question. And when you look at the way in which people in the Old Testament, specifically the people of Israel, worship God under the Old Testament, it was by making use of at least, we see the two trumpets. and that these two trumpets were only played during the time that the sacrifice was being burnt, and that those trumpets were played by the sons of Aaron the priests. Now the question here comes, or I guess the next question is, well, where do all the other instruments come from? Have you noticed that when you read the book of Psalms, specifically chapter 150, it mentions quite a few different instruments on there? And the question now is, where did they come from? Now, what was that? I think other somebody answered. Well, where did they come from? And that is a good question that we need to ask, right? Where does the rest of the instruments come from? Was that something that somebody else added? Or were they added in the same way that we see here, that it was God who commanded them? Now, the question that I ask you, when do we see the use of instruments where more instruments are now added into the worship? Does anybody remember at what point the rest of the instruments are added? During the time of David. You remember that it's during the time of David. Now, the question that I would ask, was that a commandment that God gave David? Or was that David taking it upon himself and making that decision and say, from now on, we're not just going to play the trumpets, but we're going to start using other instruments? And the question really is, was that his own decision? Or was that something that came from God? What was that, brother? It was David's decision. How many of you say that it was David's decision? It was out of his own will that he is the one that decided, let us add more instruments. Raise your hand if you believe that it was David's decision. Now, how many of you believe that it was God's instruction? That God gave the instruction to David, and that it was not David's decision, but it was God instead who gave him that commandment. Raise your hand if you believe that God gave him a commandment. You say God, right? And the question is, well, now we got to look at the Bible. See, the problem is when we read the story of David, you can go all over the books of Samuel and Chronicles, and you're not going to find the place where God comes and talks to David and he tells him directly, David, I want you to do this. I want you to add this instrument, that instrument, and that instrument, and I want this to be added into my worship service. You don't find that verse. You don't find anything like that in the book of Samuel or in the books of Chronicles now, or the books of Kings. Now, the question is, then where do we find that? See, we do know that at 400 years after this first two trumpets are introduced by God, that some 400 years later, it is David who introduces this instrument, just like we said. But again, the question is, where did that instruction come from? And let me tell you that the truth is, David did not make that decision. It was never David who decided that I want to worship God with more instruments. It might have been part of it that he wanted to do it, but let me tell you, he would not have done it if it was not an instruction from God, because nobody is allowed to add anything to the commandments of God or the things that God has already prescribed. Now, where's the proof? Right? Because the question is, well, you're just saying it, and it's easy to just say it, but the question is, where is the proof? See, and we actually don't find the proof until many times later. Actually, 40 years later, we begin to find a little bit of the proof that God actually commanded David to do this. Remember when Solomon comes to the throne? He is now the new king. David reigned for about 40 years. Actually, the first three kings in Israel, they each reigned for about 40 years. One generation, what the Bible calls. Saul reigned for 40 years. Then David came for another 40 years. And then after David, his son Solomon came to the throne for 40 years. Well, it is 40 years later that we start getting a glimpse that it was God's instruction to worship with instruments. Look at what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. And again, this is during the time of King Solomon, and it's some 40 years after we see David introducing the use of instruments in the worship of God. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. And look at what it says. And according to the order of David his father, he appointed the divisions of the priests and their service, the Levites, for their duties. Look how it says in parentheses, to praise and serve before the priest, as the duty of each day required, and the gatekeepers by their divisions at each gate. For so David, the man of God, had commanded. And look at verse 15. They did not depart from the command of the king to the priests and the Levites concerning any matter or concerning the treasures. Now you see, we see that it was the instruction of David where to place the priests and the Levites, and specifically the Levites, when it came to praising God. That has to do with, again, the trumpets. But then this has to do also with the Levites playing the rest of the instruments. Now the question is, how do we know that? And again, we don't find that answer until, again, another 300 years, about 300 years later, when there comes another descendant of King David. Do you guys remember anything about King Hezekiah? King Hezekiah goes down in history as one of the greatest kings of Israel. And then yesterday we were actually speaking about his great grandson, King Josiah, who was also came to be registered as one of the greatest kings in Judah as well. Now look at what King Hezekiah does. When King Hezekiah becomes the king of Judah, at this point, the people of Israel are no longer serving and worshiping God the way that it was originally prescribed. And what Hezekiah is trying to do, he's trying to restore true worship. Hezekiah is trying to bring things back to what God had commanded under the Old Testament. And this is the verse that I actually want us to start reading very carefully, very slowly, so that we may understand everything, all the truths that we're going to find out about God commanding David to bring this additional instruments. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and we're going to read from verse 25 all the way to verse 31. So again, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, from verse 25 all the way to 31. And again, I'm going to do the same thing I did earlier. I'm going to ask some of you, to please help me out with this reading, and then we're going to talk about it. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 25 to 31. And you can read one or two.
And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, with string instruments, and the harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer,
the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel.
So all the assembly worshiped, the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped.
Moreover, Hezekiah, the king and the princes, commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, how now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. The congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings as many as were of a free heart burnt offering.
Okay. And now, as we have just finished reading this part of the scripture, I ask the question again. When David introduced the additional instruments, was that his decision, or was that a commandment from the Lord? And I think by now, if you read verse 25, now you can agree with me that it was never David's decision. It was never David taking it upon himself to bring additional instruments into the worship of God, but that in fact, David was actually commanded directly by the Lord himself to add this additional instrument. Look at verse 25 again. It says, he's talking about Hezekiah, what Hezekiah did. It says that Hezekiah stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord, notice, with cymbals and stringed instruments and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of God the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet, for thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. Do you realize that then we see that God, when it comes to worship, even in the Old Testament, God never left it out to the people. He never said, you can worship me however you want. You can worship me as you feel in your heart, as you feel that is right. I'm going to let you make the decisions. I'm just going to give you the commandment to worship me, but I'm going to leave it up to you. You see that God never did that. from the very beginning when he takes the people out of Israel, you gotta remember this is a gradual teaching that God has given the people of Israel. He couldn't just drop everything all at once the moment that he takes them out of Egypt. So little by little, he has to teach them how they, as the people of God, as the children of God, how they are to conduct themselves morally, but how they are to conduct themselves when it comes to his worship. And that's how we see that little by little, God is adding different things. See, so he starts with Moses. And with Moses, during his time, because that's all you need for right now, is just the trumpets. I give you the materials. I tell you who's going to play them. I tell you the type of sounds that you're supposed to make with them. And I tell you when and how long you are supposed to use them and who will play them. But notice that God does the exact same thing. But now he does it with David. And it's actually not just David himself, because now we see in verse 25 that it was three different people that were the ones, the mediums that God used to add those additional instruments. It says that it was David, that it was God, and that it was Nathan. All three of them. And when they instructed the people of Israel, specifically the Levites, he told them what instruments they were supposed to play. And notice the very last part of that verse that it says, "For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets." So then that's a lot of and part of the reason why I wanted to bring this lesson is because, see, a lot of the people in the religious world, denominations, you ask them these questions, and just like we answered this morning, everybody agrees and everybody knows that, yes, in the Old Testament you worship God with instruments. But nobody knows where, not very many people know where to find the proof that it was never the decision, but that it was God's instruction, God's commandments. Now, I want you to see a few more things that I notice when Hezekiah brings the true worship back into the people of Israel. Notice what verse 26 says. It says, "The Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets." So you see that even those instruments, God ordained who was supposed to play them. And I asked you the question, based on what we read, do you think that anybody else from the 12 tribes was allowed to play, specifically when they were in the celebrations, the feasts that God had ordained, specifically the Passover, and any of those celebrations, was anybody else from any other tribe allowed to play any of these instruments and worshiping God at those specific times? No, right? You see that the trumpets are only to be played by the descendants of Aaron himself. Only the priests can do them. And you see that the rest of the instruments, it's only the Levites, the tribe that God set apart for his service. Only those people are the only ones that whenever the whole kingdom of Israel gathered together to worship the Lord, they were the only ones allowed to play these instruments. And that's why we see that in verse 26, it is very clear. It tells you that the Levites are playing all the instruments commanded by David. And when it says David, it includes God and it includes Nathan. Because it just includes David being the most known out of the three. And then it says that the priests were playing the trumpets. Now verse 27, "Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel." Now, what you notice here is that as they are celebrating the Passover, what King Hezekiah is now commanding is, okay, it is now the time that we will make the sacrifice. We're going to burn the sacrifice, which again is something that God ordained, specifically already told them what kind of sacrifice they are to burn. So the sacrifice begins. They're beginning burning the sacrifice. What also begins in line or at the same time simultaneously with the burning of the sacrifice? And you see is the instruments. This is at the very same time that this offering, that this sacrifice is being burnt, at that very same time, the priests and the Levites grab their instruments and they begin worshiping the Lord. So this is all simultaneously. Notice verse 28. "So all the assembly worshiped, the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offerings was finished." You see how long they were able to play the instruments? Now you go back to Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10, and you remember that when they played the trumpets, it was exactly the same time. When are you going to be playing these trumpets? When you're worshiping me? Whenever the burnt offering is being burnt on the altar. So you go back to, again, Numbers chapter 10, verse 10, and then you compare that to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 28 and 27, and you see that that commandment has not changed in the sense that the instruments were only played during the time that the offering is being burnt on the altar. The only thing that has changed is because God added other instruments. That's the only addition that God himself has made. And see, that's one of the things that we need to understand. People in the religious world need to understand that anything that pertains to the worship of God, it is always God who decides everything about it. And it is our job to then go into the scriptures and to diligently search the scriptures to learn and to know exactly what is it that God requires of us, so that in a way that we can worship pleasingly is in the way that he has already prescribed, and then God is going to be happy with the way in which we worship. Right? But now, again, I repeat, this is only in the Old Testament. Look what verse 29 says. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worship. See, now there is no more instruments. Verse 30. Moreover, the king Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Do you see that now this is singing a cappella? There is no instruments on that second type of singing. The only time that they were playing the instruments is only during the time that the offering is being burned on the altar. The second time that they are praising God, there is no instruments involved. They are singing a cappella. And you see that during the Old Testament, both types of worship were practiced. And there was a time for each one of them. And you're going to notice that also this is the part where all the people of Israel, they actually take part in the worship along with them, because they were all singing. They were all praising God. They were all worshiping. And then finally, verse 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of willing heart brought burnt offerings. So you see, now the people had consecrated themselves to God. Now the people were doing exactly what had not been done for many years before King Hezekiah. And thus, we find in the Bible that when it comes to musical or mechanical instruments in the Old Testament, again, I repeat what I already said, it was never left out to the people. It was always up to God. It was God who chose the instruments. It was God who chose who would play them. And again, it was God who chose at what point they were going to be played and at what point they were supposed to stop playing these instruments. And I guess what we may conclude out of this lesson, at least in the Old Testament, is that just like God does today, the kind of worship that God requires is a kind of worship that is done according to the way he prescribes in his word. So you remember, people, a lot of the times we tend to think that in order for us to please God, we just have to do it from the bottom of our hearts, that my attitude has to be the correct attitude. But let me tell you, a lot of the times we forget that it's not just having the right attitude. God also cares that everything is done in the way in which he is teaching us in his word. You will remember that that's part of the reason why King Saul was rejected by God. Remember, God gave him specific commandment. He said, I want you to go and destroy the Amalekites. And this is the reason why you're going to do it. And this is exactly what I want you to do. So you see King Saul, he goes into the Amalekites. He fights against them. And he almost, notice that word, he almost did everything that the Lord commanded. What did he do? He preserved the animals. He said, hey, look at his reasoning. He says, we can actually use them to worship God. We can actually use them to sacrifice them to the Lord. So when Samuel comes and tells him, what have you done? You did not fulfill the word of the Lord. He says, no, and in fact, I actually did. And when Samuel questions, well, then what is the sound of all these animals? And he says, well, these animals are so that we can sacrifice them to your God. Look at the reasoning that he's using. His attitude, his heart might be in the right place, but the way in which he was going about it was the wrong way. And that's why Samuel tells him, you know, just like you have rejected God, God has also rejected you, and he's replacing you, and notice his words, with someone better than you. I think when somebody hears those words, you're being replaced with someone better than you, I think that's something that really hurts you. I think that's something that will really put us down in a way. And Saul heard those words. And why were those words spoken to Saul? Because he did not obey the commandments of the Lord. So you see, one of the things that we learn in the Old Testament is that it's always important that we're always following the commandments of the Lord. And to finish, I guess that's the sound for 5 minutes. Well, we're going to finish now. I'm going to be nice. So the way I want to end this, I want to go back to the three original questions. Let's see what we learned. So the first question that I asked as we began our study this morning is, did people in the Old Testament worship God with mechanical instruments? Now raise your hand, those who say, yes, people in the Old Testament worship God with instruments. Everybody should be raising their hands right now. We just studied that and we know that that is the truth. Now the second question is, did God command them to use instruments in the worship in the Old Testament? It's true, I think everybody should be raising their hands right now. Yes, it was a commandment from God. It was never left out to the people. The question is, where do we find the proof? We already said it. We go to Numbers chapter 10, verse 1 through 10, and we find the first two instruments are introduced in the worship of God. And then we move 400 years later, we see David introducing new instruments. 40 years later, in the time of Solomon, we are told that they did everything in the temple, and they dedicated the temple to the Lord exactly in the way in which they had been received the commandments from King David. And then 300 years later, when Hezekiah restores true worship, that's when we are told that the three different prophets that brought the additional instruments were commanded by God himself to do this. And so that's what we have learned this morning. Hopefully the lesson that I brought to you this morning is of any help, especially when we are asked those questions, right? We can say that, yes, we agree about the Old Testament worship, and we agree in the way in which it was prescribed. But then again, there's still more to it. And the Lord willing, in our sermon, we will go now into the second part of our study. Now we're going to be moving to the New Testament and how we worship God under the New Testament. Thank you again for the time.